Today's scripture reading comes from Philippians 3, 10 through 14. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so, somehow, attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So Paul is writing this little letter to the church in Philippi in 61 AD. He had lost. He was writing from prison. He had lost so much, and yet he had gained so much. We've started our humbly courageous message, and we are starting this conversation and continuing to contemplate, what does it mean to be humbly courageous in these days? How do we respond to COVID-19 with all the issues that seem to complicate our jobs, our church, our nation, and our world? Last week, it was such a joy to hear about For the Birds. Kathy Durrett shared about her passion about birds. And if you haven't received this magazine, make sure and check that out. She made the front cover, kind of cool. But also, thank you for welcoming my mentor, Dr. Steve Wendy. He was my pastor at First Methodist Houston, as well as Bert Palmer's pastor, as well as Mike Ware's pastor, who used to be the choir director here. He's a hero of mine. He just said how wonderful you all are, even with the masks. You know, you can't really see smiles or, you know, have that connection. Sometimes there's that barrier. He appreciated your leadership in Texas, in the Panhandle, in Amarillo. And he could see in here why Polk Street is so special with your warm welcome. Then we talked about 1 Kings 17 as we celebrated World Communion Sunday and talked about God's call, even in the midst of drought, like 1 Kings 17, Elijah did. But also God's care, how God seems to always provide at just the right time when she had the flour and the oil. And how God is famous, absolutely famous for bringing life to death, bringing resurrection, even when there is death. That God gives us life and purpose and meaning forever. So I'd like to propose to you this morning that we have lost a lot. During COVID-19, we've lost many good people. We've lost a lot of situations economically. We've lost school class times. And there have been so many virtual situations. So I think we can resonate with Paul when he talks about losing, how it's lost a little bit. But Paul really had a great life. If you look in your bulletin, there's a little outline for you. You see, Paul was like a man of mans. If you think about a perfect person, Paul could be a candidate for that. So it says in Philippians 3, 4-6, he says, though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Boy, isn't that cocky, right? He's just being honest, though. He says, circumcised on the eighth day. That's what it meant to be Jewish. That's what it meant to be. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He would follow the law of the people of Israel. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, like the top of the food chain. It says in regard to the law, he was a Pharisee. It means he knew the law. He was part of the ruling class. And it says, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. So he was a hunter of the Christians because it was supposed to be what he thought at that time, a sect. So he wanted to be right. He wanted to be perfect. So part of that is getting rid of evil, getting rid of ideas that aren't godly. And at that time, when his name was Saul, he was part of the Sanhedrin, part of the Pharisee group. He was part of the law. So he had to address the Christians, this sect that he thought was heresy, which he didn't know at the time. But what he's saying is, he had this great life. In fact, he was so righteous. He followed the law. I mean, he's amazing. You know, I wonder if, like, if Mac Davis was at that time, that maybe he would have sung a song by Mac Davis. You know the song. He's a native Texan from Lubbock. You know, I used to have a little 8-track player. Anyone remember those little 8-tracks? And I had a stereo in my room that was about as big as this altar. Huge. And you plug in that 8-track, and there was 4 little areas. And you'd have to press it, and you'd have to wait for it to go through the whole thing before you could press it again. But I had the Mac Davis 8-track. I remember singing it with my dad, laughing, having so much fun. Let's see if anyone knows this. Ready? Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be a heck of a man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. Right? I really thought other people would sing along with me. People don't know that song? It's all right. It was embedded in my soul. But my dad and I would laugh at every time we sang that song together on that little 8-track player, but huge stereo. Because no one is perfect, especially as we get older. And it's kind of easy to be humble because we're not perfect. But Paul was. He had this great life, amazing life. And yet he wanted more. Paul, this perfect person, desired more. So he wanted to attain life. The scripture says, but whatever were gains for me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What's more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. To attain that life, that to have something more. He is perfect. Everything you could want in his day. And yet, something was missing. He had everything but missed one needful thing. John Wesley wrote a sermon about that one needful thing. It's kind of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where, you know, you have your basic needs, and then as you kind of go up the scale, you need more. You need more and more. But part of it is attaining that purpose, that meaning, that life that God's created us to have. Kevin Watson from the K Candler School of Theology at Emory University, United Methodist School, said that Wesley believed that it was absolutely essential that God's priorities become our priorities. That's what it means to grow in Christ, is that our priorities start taking second seat to that first seat of Christ. And it's not just a platitude that's often repeated, but it's a result of a conviction of this one needful thing, that we are renewed in God's image and we're made in that image that God has for us when we were made good and beautiful in His sight. And John Wesley used anything he could to help people constantly be reminded of what was most important. And so John Wesley urged his followers to continue on in the means of grace by reading the Scriptures, by praying, by receiving Holy Communion, by fasting, and particularly to watch over each other and to love each other through Christian community, to practice communal activities, simply being together. The goal was to attain that fanning the flames that God had in people, put in people's hearts and lives, that little fire that's in all of us that God's planted to stoke those fires, to encourage one another. And the goal was to help every Methodist keep their eyes on God and to keep them attentive to nurturing and growing their relationship with God. What does it look like? Well, this is a beautiful picture of community, where we are together in this. This is the universal sign of community. I got this on a mission trip in Mexico. And this is just guys getting together, holding each other up, blessing each other, encouraging each other, and all kind of gather around either campfire or food, whatever it is, to hold one another up and to bless one another. That's why we still have activities, even during this COVID, that we're going to the pumpkin patch tonight. And we're excited to simply be together, go and pick sunflowers, go and shoot apples, go and eat as much kettle corn as you possibly can. They actually have a cannon that shoots candy, and I can't wait to see that. I'm gonna see how much candy we can get. But being a part of community, being there for one another, being able to talk and support one another, give grace, but also give truth to hungry hearts. That's what it means to attain that life, that we're all searching for something, that we have great lives, but we have something to strive for, and we have good community leaders. This is such a safe place where people come with broken hearts, grieving, crying. It's like a hospital for sinners where we gather and we bless one another and help each other along the way. But as we attain this life, sometimes people get very ambitious. And the trick about Christianity is that if you seek it, of course you'll find it. If you ask, you'll receive. Seeking, you'll find. Knock, and the door will be open for you. But we simply receive it. We have to be open to it. Because if we try to grab it, it will elude us. We can't control God. We simply are available when that grace is showered on us, and we don't know when that will be. But we're attentive and ready to attain that life that God's called us to. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." We work for sin. We work for ourselves. We work for this world, and we get tired and discouraged. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Receiving that gift of grace, asking for it, seeking it, knocking on the door. And that empowers us to be all that we can be, to attain that life that God's given us. Because Paul was purposeful about growing in Christ. He received that grace, but he initiated growth. Philippians 3:12 says, "Not that I have already attained all of this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ has called me heavenward. He took the initiative. He was proactive. So on Wednesday nights, we have a group of guys that have been meeting, kind of like this, kind of like a band of brothers. And there's also a woman's group called the Soul Sisters. But I hope that you find a group like this, that you can cry when your kids drive you nuts, praise the Lord for your victories, be there for one another. I'll tell you, we have amazing people here with great Sunday school classes, great choir, great people that support one another and bless one another, beautiful children's ministry, youth ministry, United Methodist women, United Methodist men, that really have this koinonia, this fellowship. But part of it, on this last Wednesday, my little group of band of brothers looked at this old book I'm sure many of you have read, Stephen Covey's 7 Highly Effective Habits of Highly Effective People. One of them is being proactive. We looked at that first one. What does it mean to be proactive? To say, I want to do this. I want to guide this ship. This is where I want to go. To be proactive, being intentional. You need to know, if you're going to go on Christ, most of the time, it's not just going to happen. We just don't drift into spirituality that's effective. We have to be purposeful about it. But also, we can't control it. Sometimes life happens. Sometimes God appears when we least expect God. But we do need to be intentional about it. Be purposeful about it. Be proactive. Now, since then, many people have been contemplating this book. So being proactive means that sometimes you don't jump ahead. You're not a scout. Sometimes we have to react. Husbands and wives, sometimes in marriage, you're not supposed to be proactive and jump ahead. It's okay to be reactive, especially in our COVID-19 world. Be reactive, react in an appropriate way, understand dynamics, and be able to react in a godly way. But part of it is being proactive, preparing our minds, preparing our hearts, and being ready when it comes to initiate life. Say, God, today I want to be your person. Whatever might come, goodness, today, help me react in faith, in love, no matter what I lose, help me to gain you, oh God. Because Christianity is always looking forward, always looking upward. It says in Philippians 3:13-14, it says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. To press on, to keep going, because we have a goal. I'll tell you, we have a beautiful history, 133 years here, and I know so many people in here who have done great things, and we celebrate that. But our God is a God of right now. What are we doing right now for God? And what's it look like in the future? Hebrews 12:29 says that our God is a consuming fire. And that fire means that it's right now. Because if it's before, then it's kind of not burned yet. Afterwards, right? It's already burned. It's already charred. It's a right now. God's a right now. God's desiring us right now. For tomorrow's not promised. And yesterday is gone. Today, if you hear my voice, God says, answer that call today. But at the same time, Christianity is called windshield viewing. At certain times in our life, we get perplexed and we look at the rearview mirror, looking at mistakes, looking at victories. You know, I think that there is some time for that. To reflect on a beautiful life, to remember our history as a people, remember our church, to celebrate that. But my friends, Christianity is windshield faith. The future is before us, no matter if we're old or young, that we have an inheritance in this life full of purpose and meaning, but also in the life to come, that every day is better, that sometimes it's not, but every day will get better, even when we die. This is a promotion because we have that faith in Christ. Reverend Kevin Deckard shared this week in our staff meeting. Every week we have a different staff member that leads a devotional, that leads us in prayer, and helps our staff find community to where we can support one another, be there for one another. We have a beautiful staff that really works hard to really help our church be all it can be. But he shared, he said, don't look back. Even in this COVID-19, it's hard. Let's look forward, because God is looking forward to what God has for us. And he referenced Genesis 19, Lot's wife, where Lot and his wife escaped the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. But as they left, the angel said, don't look back. You know the story. Lot escaped, barely. But as they were leaving, Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Reverend Kevin Deckard encouraged us, said, look forward. Look forward. What are you doing looking back? Celebrate what was there, but don't let it drag you down. Look forward to what God has for you. And Paul says in Philippians 1:21, in old age, in jail, he says, for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's very countercultural. But when we lose, sometimes we gain. So I pray that even in this loss, even during this time of so many cancellations, sicknesses, grief, struggles, what have we gained? We have great lives. As I look out and as I see even in the newspaper, so many great servant leaders in our church, in our world, standing for Christ. We can attain that life that God has for us as we search for God. Say, God, help me. But help us be intentional about it. Help us to initiate that, but always may we be about giving, receiving, and being that life that God's called us to be and to live. My friends, whatever loss we have, may we gain. Lord, thank you that this world is not all that there is. Thank you that you are with us in the pain, in the sorrow, in the loss. And you have a purpose for us, that evil isn't from you. But Lord, you can redeem those evil situations. You can redeem those areas of loss so it might be for our gain. Thank you that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank you for that promise of life everlasting. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all of God's people said amen. And now please stand as we sing our very last song.